Okay, so I'm back, Jenny.
Oh, I just,
I just
to note for the recording that I just mentioned to Pamela that it was a great call that she made, saying that thunder was going to come from the sky and disrupt the earth and cause the soil to be fertilized over time. And then the next day, news from Japan that there was a big earthquake and a tsunami. So I did want to give kudos to her for her prognosticative talent.
Well, I think the important thing to keep in mind with that forecast, and thank you for reminding me, is the piece that I talked about, the how the tragedies or the unexpected or that kind of lightning bolt eruption does lead to a rich loam. I mean, there's something that can be unearthed or gotten through it. Now, of course, for the people who are living in Japan, it's a daily nightmare of new things that are coming up and things that they're realizing have occurred due to the earthquake. But it's hopefully the wisdom and the insight and the transition that comes through all of this is not for naught. I mean, you know, it's tragic when these things happen, and this is particularly, I mean, it's just stunning. It's hard to put the mind around it.
Yes.
But to think that it has no universal logic to it, or spiritual resource or results, it's a very cruel way to view it. When you view it in terms of people, like the Japanese especially, who have had such foresight in how they've built their reactors and buildings to try to insulate and protect themselves from earthquakes and tsunamis, and yet this one was off the charts. So it brings home all the structures and things we built that don't have that kind of sustainability, and also question the ways we gather energy and resources, because if it's not something that can weather those kinds of incidences, which I'd love to say that we'll never see another earthquake like that in our lifetime, and I really have no idea, but I do know that Earth is changing. And by the fact that they said that after that incident, the entire orientation of the Earth may have changed due to the impact. So what its long-range repercussions are, we still don't know yet. But symbolically, it has to do with a call from, once Uranus enters into Aries, the deep kinds of irrevocable changes that are occurring. And so for someone like Vinny, who's on the call, who has planets in Aries, or as I was talking about, my mother-in-law, who has the moon in Aries, these are, once Uranus comes to those personal planets, especially the sun, the moon, the rising sign, Venus, Mars, Mercury, there's some sort of real impact, inspiration, upset that is occurring to the native as he or she is being hit by it, because something has to change. And when we are upset in ways that are incredibly painful, like in the case of the earthquake, I can only imagine how incredibly painful that is for people who lost homes, families, livelihoods, their lives. But for someone like my mother-in-law, whose result was a sudden kind of out-of-the-blue break. She broke her hip for no really good reason. She just sort of fell in her apartment. I mean, that's the kind of impact a Uranus transit can have. It doesn't always have to be negative, though. I mean, it's neutral energy. How it hits a person or a planet or a place is more, it's just acting. It's just moving energy. How we're affected by it has to do with what it means to us emotionally by that particular impact or thing that's occurred. So, that being said, with Uranus in Aries now, we've been seeing a lot of, like, really... And the other thing, because Mars is also in the sign of Aries, so there's been very fast-moving energy. People just kind of shoot from the hip. They say things, they do things without really necessarily of what that means. They get an impulse and they react on it instead of thinking it through. So especially when you're driving, you want to be hyper alert these days because there's just a lot of erratic energy flying around the world. So looking at things like what happened today, has been a higher energy day than maybe the past few days. And Vinny and I were talking also about this kind of long, cold, wet weather we've been experiencing here in the Northeast, which isn't usual for this time of year, but it does happen. We don't always have an electric sudden spring, but this one's been particularly, what's the word I want, raw, I guess, raw and cold. And I mean, I'm thinking about that in different ways, symbolically, why it's occurring, but the main thing is that it's just a something else that isn't normally predicted. So it's kind of the unpredictable, the unexpected, the things that make us still feel like we've got to charge up and do something, even though energetically how we're feeling is still a little more internal. So tomorrow it's actually Saturday, Pluto goes retrograde, and that's on April 9th. And when the outer planets go retrograde, they don't have as big a, I'm not going to use the word impact, but they are perhaps not as noticeable to the general public as the general public may notice when Mercury is retrograde, which it is right now. And that's the other thing. Mercury is in retrograde in the sign of Aries, so we have a lot of Aries energy that wants to move kind of quickly or impulsively. And yet, you know, with the retrograde, Mercury is kind of holding it back. Let's see what else is in Aries. Sun, obviously, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter is in Aries, Uranus in Aries. So this is just a lot of, it's like an engine of energy. On the other hand, Venus is in the sign of Pisces all month. No, actually, the 20th, it turns into Aries. So after the 20th, we get much more of a push. So it's possible that as long as Venus is in Pisces, we're holding on to this kind of frozen quality of the winter that has passed. So it could be almost a balancing energy with all this Aries that's going on, so that the Pisces gives us this kind of dream state in spite of the thrust of the Aries energy that wants to move hot. The other thing to keep in mind is that Neptune has really gone into Pisces. So once the planet that has to do with that's linked rather to the sign of Pisces. In that sign, we've been entering a state, and it only goes through August, and then it retrogrades back into Aquarius until it enters back into Pisces in 2012. But over the next couple of months, we kind of have an invitation to see what it's like to really psychically communicate. It's almost as though I think that the intensity or the level of people who can do this is going to, I don't know if I'd use the word explode, but that may be how it feels once there's more and more ranks of people who are embracing or getting comfortable with that kind of ability to telecommunicate without electronics, so that it's kind of all happening just through the other plane. So if there's three dimensions that a lot of people are aware of, and we know that there's a fourth dimension that is part of this electronic soup that's flying around, and there's the fifth dimension that's a lot of how we psychically connect, and sixth dimension and beyond, the Neptune going into Pisces coupled with Pluto in Capricorn is kind of bringing to Earth the ability to really communicate psychically, and the collective unconscious working in almost a more conscious capacity. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, boom, tomorrow, but we are moving more into those dimensions of, and, you know, some people are much more there than others, but the sweep of more people being able to enter this realm is increasing. And as a result, you may feel more of a need or a desire to do things like meditate or space out. And sometimes, I'm just theorizing at this point because it depends on how the planets are all in the sky connecting with an individual's horoscope. But I'm wondering, when I think of this kind of cataclysmic energy that happens for certain people where they might have a fall or an illness or a natural disaster that's occurring, or another disaster like losing a job, or things that really just sort of throw them out of the realm of their everyday. People who are experiencing this may also be getting an invitation to enter into more meditative, deeper states of healing and embracing that. So if you are going through a difficult, stressful period, always keep that in mind, that there are, that to segment out time where you're giving yourself that sort of floating time or ability to space out as you need to, because that is also very regenerating and healing. I'm on all these different blogs and groups online, and there was a woman, I don't know her, but after reading some of her notes, I have more of a sense of who she is, but she is a natural-born American, but she lives in Japan. And she was writing about how she lives in this high-rise in Tokyo and the level of fear that was out there that people were having about the air and the food and the water. And she has a small child, and she got to a point where she thought, you know, I just can't do this anymore. So she went out, she got flowers, and she started living as though everything was fine. And she talked about how her level of stress and her ability to enjoy her day just totally increased. She still knew that she was dealing in a world where there's a lot of difficulty. It's not like she was ignoring it, but she wasn't listening to the news constantly anymore, and she wasn't in a web of panic anymore. And that kind of conscious awareness is part of what we all need to do as we move through these shocks to our system, whatever they are that may be occurring, and it's different for each individual, but there's also a collective shock that's occurring. So it's really, really essential to allow yourself to float into that Neptune and Pisces space, which is supported by this very transformative energy with Pluto in Capricorn that's giving a grounding to it as well, so that it does help to regenerate the body, regenerate the psyche, and regenerate the spirit. So, let's see, where else are we going in April? So, I was talking about how Pluto's going retrograde this Saturday, and when a outer planet goes retrograde, it has more to do with the internal process. That's one reason why I went off on that whole tangent. But it's an even deepening time to carve out a little time for meditation, being in groups or guided meditation work or whatever gives you that sense of, let's see, all right. So another thing that I should mention is that there is a Mars-Pluto picture in the sky on the 11th in a few days, and that is, it's a very dynamic energy. It's not necessarily a very easy energy. So anyone who has a strong Mars-Pluto configuration, in this case it's a square, which is a hard aspect, but somebody can have a trine, or it's how do you pull those energies together, the energy that has to do about asserting oneself coupled with a sense of power and transformation. So it's very, there's a lot of force to it, and we could very well see something on the news, especially on the 11th, that has to do with that kind of aggressive power. So, once again, we choose what we do with things like aggressive power. And so it's important to use that in ways that are channeling positive energy in some way, instead of feeling like you're at odds or in a battle with somebody. And if you find yourself in that situation, you choose where you're going with it. So the other thing I want to mention before I finish with April and go to May, because we had of course talked about April on the last call, but I always like to refresh where we are now, how Venus goes into Aries in the on the 20th, and that will be kind of a ramping up of the intensity of people really wanting to kind of move forward with what they want, because that, when Mercury goes direct, which will be the 23rd, so once that happens, a lot of things that feel like they've been on hold are really going to just sort of whoosh, move very, very quickly. So the important thing is to try use this retrograde Mercury period for getting your ducks in a row and putting things in place, so that when that real thaw and push occurs at the end of April, that you are prepared to move with it quickly and with a lot of momentum, because that's pretty much how it's going to be moving. There is not going to be a lot of regulation or modification at that point. So anything that can be done prior to it with trying to create some checks and balances is a good idea. So the full moon this month occurs on the 17th, and right now we're in this sweep of the new moon cycle. Tomorrow early morning, Saturday, good days to initiate, begin projects, run through other days that are good. The afternoon on the 11th is better towards the evening once you get through that kind of minefield of the Mars-Pluto square. The 12th is a very good day, as is most of the day on the 13th until the late afternoon. And when I say those endings, I'm looking at where the moon void of course is, which you have in your printouts. And when the moon is void of course, the main thing to keep in mind is you don't want to start and initiate new things at that time. So the full moon, as I was saying, occurs on Palm Sunday on the 17th, and that's the full moon in Libra. So it's a dynamic energy that has to do with thinking about what you're doing in partnership. So since we had the new moon in Aries early this month, we are aiming to kind of move forward with ideas that we want to initiate ourselves. But at some point, always, there's engaging or entering into contract with the other. Anyone who works for themselves, anyone who has an idea that they're getting off the ground, sooner or later, it has to be... It has to come into contract with someone else. If you're a writer, you want somebody to read your book. If you have your own business, you need a client to buy. So it doesn't really matter what the enterprise or the idea is. At some point, we have to work with that other person. So as we're aiming the arc of whatever that initiation or thing that we're beginning towards that point with the full moon in Libra, we're moving towards, ideally, better and more effective partnership. Once that full moon is passed, then there's the wrapping up of the month. Which doesn't mean you can't start or begin things, but as I said, once we get past the 23rd and Mercury goes direct, that's a much more lively time for things to be moving very quickly. Easter Sunday on the 24th, it's just moons in Aquarius, a lot of networking opportunities to connect and go full forward through the end of the month. So May is the meat of this forecast, what we can anticipate as we look towards full-blown spring. And like April, May will have days that have these kind of long, extended, void of course moons. Especially in early April, we've run into a few of them. And what they do is they can make a person feel like they're in this netherworld, that things aren't really getting completed or done in the way they would like. So if you're feeling a sense of being in limbo or as though you're not in an initiation energy mode, definitely look at the printout to see where the void of courses are so that you can use that time more as a time when you're able to go forward with something that's already been started and you're just in the zone with it. Or you're organizing something or prioritizing something or creating some kind of frame, but you're not engaged in a way where you have an emotional investment in the outcome, because moon void of courses don't serve us well when we need to have that kind of gut awareness that comes from being in touch with what's going on with us emotionally. That's why they aren't good times to initiate or begin something, because people aren't really invested in the outcome. So therefore, it doesn't usually have a desirable outcome. So yesterday, for instance, yesterday the moon was void, of course, all day, and you may reflect on what that felt like compared to a day like today, which had a lot of erratic energy, but still things were moving, things were able to go ahead, connections were able to be made. So as we get into May, for instance, May Day, the moon is void, of course, from 11:20 a.m. on. So that would be a day, it's a Sunday, that would be a day when you'd want to get what you needed to get out of the way and what required some kind of focus. You'd want to get that done in the morning so that by the time the moon went void, of course, your focus be more directed towards something that you were finishing up, clearing up, or just party and relax. Relaxing and meditation are really good things to do when the moon is void, of course, which is why it's kind of a challenging spring, because there are days long with void, of courses. So some people may feel like just going out in la-la land and not doing the work that they need to do, and that can be very challenging. So the new moon in May occurs in, the moon is in Taurus, and it happens on the 3rd. And when the sun is in the sign of Taurus, this is fixed energy. It's what we call, it's fixed, it's an earth sign, and the fixed signs all occur once the season is in full swing, because it stays and it stays with the energy of that season. So in Taurus, you know, the flowers are blooming, plants are growing, it's a very lush time, depending on where you are on the planet, but it has a lot to do with reaping the fruits of your endeavors, but you still have to work at it. So with the new moon, it's a lot here about doing things that heighten your creativity or focus on your creativity. So it occurs exactly at 2:51 a.m. Eastern Time. And the Sabian symbol for this moon is a man handling baggage, which I consider a very loaded image for many reasons. The first is that the man is handling baggage. We don't know if it's his baggage or someone else's baggage, but there's a caretaking quality to it, or a, you know, sometimes the way these people handle baggage now on airport lines, it doesn't really feel like it feels more like it's being violated or torn apart. So a man handling baggage in today's times has so many different ways of interpreting it. Also, it refers as a man. That's a gendered distinction when Taurus is a yin sign, considered female, passive, but a man is handling baggage. So it gives a force and a decisiveness and a yang energy to this new moon that, in its purity, the Taurus new moon is about, the goddess and creating things that are being birthed and thinking in terms of what you want to gain in a sense of security. Well, I think that a man handling baggage is emphasizing the security piece of you have what you need in your world. Want to use this stuff, the stuff you want to travel with, or is this stuff in some way something that you have to discard or you can no longer travel with because they won't let you on the plane with it? So what is it about, as you reflect on this new moon, what is it that you need in order to really create your personal sense of security? And it probably looks different than it looked a year ago at this time, and certainly 5 years ago at this time. So how do you, each individual, how do you forge a greater sense of security and comfort in your life? That's what this new moon is talking about. Also keep in mind that Taurus is the sign. It has to do with physical stamina. Taurus naturally represents the second house in the zodiac, in the horoscope, which is about your possessions and your body, because that's the possession you come into this world with, and it's your last possession when you leave this world. It's your last connection to the tangible world, and it's your first connection to it. The soul enters the body. The body is the vessel. The body is domain number one. And so with Taurus, the new moon in Taurus, it's an invitation opportunity to have a new relationship with the body. It's different than the new moon in Virgo, which is about setting up ritual routine to take care of the body. The new moon in Taurus is about thinking in terms of what you need to create greater security in your body. So what tastes or smells or touches really make you feel loved and cared for and very in your body? So Taurus is a highly sensual sign. It's very much in line with reacting to things in a tactile, instinctual way. So as we get there, closer to that time, it behooves us to think about what is it for you as an individual that will help create greater security within your body. Certainly financial. It's a wonderful new moon to think about new opportunities. And this particular new moon, because of the other things going on with it, speaks a lot about increased communication, because the bottom line always is that, I mean, this at least is what I certainly have found in my life, is that the people who you know and the connections who you make, that you make, are where your wealth and security does indeed come from. So, in terms of when this new moon comes up, about how you want to handle your baggage, what baggage, especially the emotional baggage, is it time to release? And what baggage is something you still need to carry, you want to carry, and you want to transport safely. So, and always with the new moon in Taurus, it's essential to have a really yummy meal, ideally with the company of people who you really enjoy, including perhaps just a meal with yourself, because for some people that's the least stressful and the most loving way to have a candlelight enjoyable dinner. Even people who love other people, sometimes what they really need is just some quiet time with themselves. So that's something you might consider giving as well. that's the new moon coming up in May. You leave the shadow of Mercury retrograde on May 10th. So if anything didn't sort of jet off by the end of April when we got into all that Aries energy, you might find that after May 10th, certain people come back, messages get received, things that were kind of put on hold finally click in and move into place. So it's not the same as when Mercury finally goes direct, which definitely feels like things are more lined up, but as long as we're in that shadow energy, which happens a couple of weeks after the direct, there still can be some sort of delays or things that haven't really been able to come through. So after the 10th, that all begins to change. And let's see, the other sweep of A is we initiate with a whole lineup of planets in Aries. And then the movement starts to change. I mentioned the 10th, the shadow of the retrograde ends. The next day, on the 11th, Mars enters the sign of Taurus. So, when we're in the sign of Aries, when we're in the sign of Taurus, and Mars has moved into that sign, or different planets move into that sign, it accentuates what's going on with the sun sign. So, once Mars enters Taurus, the sun sign is more in line with how things want to express themselves. So May may have begun pretty hot, a lot of things moving around, some erratic energy. Once Mars goes into Taurus, the expression of the sustaining energy of Taurus starts to level down a lot more. So, not that things necessarily will slow down totally, but that the time that is required to follow through certain enterprises gets a lot more focus and consideration than may have been possible when Mars was zipping along in Aries. Because once it goes into Taurus, tendency to take more time with something increases. And it's at kind of a direct foil with all that Aries energy moving around. So I think that you will really feel it more than we ordinarily would when Mars moves from Aries to Taurus. In this case, I think we'll really feel shift slowing down, a more tendency to say, hey, you know, I really do want to clock out early tonight, or I really do want to look in terms of getting out of town for the weekend. So people will be thinking more about how to enjoy life and celebrate what's around them instead of just buzzing along at 75 miles an hour. So this, the challenge of the month of May as opposed to the month of April is that things do zip along in April in spite of the retrograde. With May, we have times when things are really wonderful to initiate. As I said, right after that new moon in Taurus, very lush, very good time for beginning things through the end of that week, the 6th. I would definitely take that weekend off. Mother's Day is kind of a very rocky day emotionally, so I would just not try to an agenda at all over those weekend days. Then when we get into the second week in May, especially from the 10th on, the energy is much more accepting of pushing out new projects, getting things launched, getting the attention you need, or financing securities, things like that. Much, much better after that. Things get a little rocky again from the 13th. I don't know, it's the weekends. Look more like the emotional minefield. So depending on if one works on the weekends or not. And then, of course, there are other kinds of projects people initiate, like they get married or they throw a party, or those are things that can happen on the weekend. And it doesn't mean that all these days are bad days, but they do require more attention to how things are said and what the anticipated outcome may be. The full moon in May occurs on the 17th, and the full moon in May is in Scorpio. And this particular... and move ahead to my written notes, because this Sabian symbol military band on the Mars with a full moon in Scorpio, and with all this Aries energy that's been occurring, and yeah, Vinny mentioned about but there's more wars that have been starting. There's more strife out in the world. There's a lot of volatility, and we're all looking at that as being a strong possibility with all this Aries energy. As we move more into some Taurus energy that doesn't necessarily calm it, what it can do, depending on the individual, is it can joke it more, or it can stay with it more. But it all depends on the individual. What does change is that levels off, so that it's more, instead of explosions and things that are upsetting and like new news every day, there's more of a boiling point or a leveling off of it. But when I look at that full moon, military band on the march, I'm reading it a few ways. Now, the full moon in Scorpio, of course, means that the sun is in the sign of Taurus. So you've got this 180 degrees pull between Taurus energy, which is fixed and stubborn and bound to the earth, and has to do with possessions or the tangible, in opposition to Scorpio, which has to do with transformation and evolution, and also the power, which can be wonderful power, as we love the word transformation, or it can be very negative, having to do with death, destruction, and a need to control. Those are all strong about the Scorpio energy. So you can feel how powerful that dynamic is, the Taurus kind of holding on in opposition to the Scorpio that wants things done its way and will sweep over and change transform whatever needs to die to create the change. So the best way to move into the full moon energy, keeping in mind the new moon was in Taurus, all about creating new security and a relationship with the body and a sense of how to bring the sensual and the something that's really solid into one's life, is that as we're approaching the full moon in Scorpio, there's a really a very strong need to release anything that isn't serving you. If you've heard me talk before, I have this whole thing about how transformation is all about compost, that you don't just let something go and it goes flying out in the cosmos and you never see it again. It becomes something else. It has to. So a military band on the march in that image, one of the things that I was struck by when I was thinking about it is that the precision of the military band and people who are in it, I mean, usually the ones who end up in the band are the, quote, more sensitive warriors or the ones that have a beat and or the ones that have a beat. But I remember reading a book years ago about the Civil War and about the boys that would run to join the Civil War. And these were kids who were like 12 and 13 years old. And I think you had to be 14 or 15 to fight, staggeringly young. But if you were too young or deemed too young, they made you a drummer boy or playing the flute or fife or whatever the heck it was. And these children, these boys, would march in this carnage playing or beating the drum in order to sustain the troops, to keep the battle going. So, looking at this image, I'm thinking about it in a couple of ways. One, it's the military band that everybody enjoys during a parade, and it's nice to see people in their uniform making music instead of making war. But it's also thinking in terms of what sustains your battle. What is your battle? What is the thing that you're fighting to change, or you've got a mandate, or your own little private militia that you're working on to make something transform and have a different relationship with it. So the idea of the military band is also, it's a reminder that as we're, no matter what we're doing battle with or what we're trying to win in a power struggle, it's important to do it with a rhythm and to know that there's a rightness to it. So in the rhythm of your life, whatever your battle may be, whatever you're choosing to engage in, do you hear that music as you're moving with it? Or are you hearing something that's very dissonant and not going with the flow of how you think you need to go about your day? Because if you're not feeling that kind of precision of movement, or that you're marching with your own inner band, then maybe the battle isn't one that you want or need to be engaged in. And I think that's the part of the arc of this new moon, so much about your own inner personal and financial security. And of course, in order to create that, most of us have to go through some sort of battle, either in how we're bringing in money, how we're maintaining our health. In order to keep your health and your body well, it's not necessarily a battle, but it does require precision. It does require a ritual to it, a practice to it, in order to have that body singing and moving to the rhythm that you want it to move in. So even though you may not be able to have a full-blown military band by the time we get to the full moon in Scorpio, the goal is to think in terms of what brings music to the from the gold to the whatever the war or the battle is that you're trying to win within yourself. So I'm taking it out of the mundane, where people are thinking in terms of, oh, this means war, this means all kinds of difficult things happening on the planet, but thinking in terms of the individual and how we can use that in ways that make each of us as individuals stronger and more in a point where we're in a practice and preparation to be to the measure of the drum that we hear as individuals. What is your personal journey, your personal quest? So as we wrap up May, once we've passed through that full moon, once again, there's the day, the 18th is a good day to engage and reach out, and you get these long void of courses, another rocky weekend of the 21st, and that doesn't mean all weekends are going to be bust and you're going to have a miserable time. It just means that it's not necessarily a good time to try to start something new or engage in a conversation that's a difficult one. It's better to put these things off on days that you've just got the energy supporting a more auspicious outcome. And they come. I mean, once we get to the 22nd is a Sunday, that's good. The 23rd Monday, very good. Basically, through the 25th, the good weekend is the weekend of the 27th, 28th, so there is at least one, and through Memorial Day. So May is a month that starts out really, it's like you're flying along on one of these speed cars without a seatbelt, and so you got to hold on as tightly as you can. And we get to mid-month, things start to develop more of a calculated path instead of just let's change this or move this as fast as we can. So once that occurs, then we're more in a mode where we can really give something a lot more stretch and breath than we were able to do when we were just running and panting as fast as we could. But the important thing to keep in mind now that we're in April, as I said earlier, if you're driving, really pay attention, be present. If you're a pedestrian and you're walking along on the streets, again, be very present. People are just moving faster than they're necessarily thinking. So it's important to pull yourself down to earth as often as you can. So, Jenny, you're my only guest tonight, but do you have any questions, any dates you need to know about, anything you want to say or get more information on?
I just wanted to say I'm looking at my hand and I'm looking at the blood vessels, and I see Neptune's trident, very pronounced, and for me that's kind of like a symbolic of how I can deal best with all this Aryan energy, being that my progressed sun sign is in Aries and all the other Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, and Aries. So I'm going to use this uh, this Neptunian energy in Pisces to kind of be the omega to the alpha, so that I can kind of like swallow the snake's tail and make it a circle of hopefully, eternal value for myself. So that's all I really have to say. I have one slight question, but it was the Libra moon on the 17th. You mentioned is an excellent time to initiate projects, and yet we're still in the Mercury retrograde. And I was wondering, being that just a 2 or 3 day period, whether it might be better to initiate things actually when we get to the other side of Mercury's direct station on the 23rd.
Right. It depends what it is, of course. I mean, the thing about Mercury retrograde is that sometimes people have to move forward. So we look for, the best dates during
right.
the retrograde.
Yes, that's good.
And so that would be, that's why I mentioned.
No, that's great. That answers my question.
You can't necessarily stay, depending on what you're doing, you can't necessarily stay frozen in place for three weeks and then with the shadow energy an additional
right.
4 weeks. It's
right,
just,
right.
I think sometimes, especially with Mercury in retrograde, we can give it more power than is really wise.
Yeah.
It's the main thing it's teaching us is to really go over something very carefully. People get in trouble when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing with Mercury retrograde. Venus retrograde, Jupiter retrograde, those are planets that are much more challenging for any kind of business enterprise to be launching off when that's going on. Because Venus is about your money, your connections, and Jupiter's about fortune and your ability to attract luck. So those are the planets you really don't want retrograde when you're doing anything that's got to do with business. So I would be much more cautious during those times than with Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde, I truly believe that as long as you really work hard on communicating effectively and going over some sort of contract or piece of paper, that it's probably fine. I'm sure there are astrologers who would disagree with me, as there are astrologers who really think the whole Mercury retrograde thing is just a bunch of bunk. So I kind of fall in between the two of them, but that's because I have a very strong Mercury natally. In other words, it's placed in a way that it's very emphasized in my makeup. I talk, I write, I'm an idea person. So therefore, I probably feel Mercury when it's retrograde more than someone who just isn't really that big a communicator. That person probably is not as effective when Mercury goes retrograde because they aren't dealing with Mercury in all his realms and worlds.
No, I'm the same as you, maybe not to quite the extent, but I was took all the writing classes and all the speaking classes I could when I was in college, so that's part of my makeup.
But I know, Vinny, you have a book in you. Whether you'll ever write it or not is totally your choice.
Well, that's the health question again. But that's the reason your answer was so perfect for me, because there's five small clients that I haven't talk to about the new year because of the these health issues. And but at the same time, you know, you can't. You know, this is getting a little bit late not to be talking about business to them. So that seems like the maybe the perfect time to do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording, and then I'm going to chat with you just a little more. So I'll be right back.